beginning of Channel 1 over. Beginning of Channel 1 over and continuation of the visit with Everett Smith this Wednesday evening, the 31st of March, 1971. Beginning of Channel 1 over and continuation of the visit with Everett Smith this Wednesday evening, the 31st of March, 1971. Beginning of Channel 1 over.
And I tried to buy squash. The pole beans weren't any good. I love pole beans.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't any good, and they were 60 cents a pound.
Yeah.
And those hook neck squash were just terrible.
That's
they weren't
right.
good.
That's right.
And for
the first time
I've ever known them to be 60 cents a pound.
Yeah. That's right.
Because if the farmers got it,
that's
all right.
Yeah, but the farmer, that's where the trouble comes. It's not
getting
it. You know, we saw the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to look, in other words, at the boxes we put them in, these little wire-bound boxes.
Yeah.
And I went in the back there. I told the boy, I want to see, you know, what name was on this box. And the box was Franklin Lumber and Backing Company, Mendicanope. And it was some of the same squash that come to some of our field in this neighborhood. And they were giving us less than a nickel a pound for them, and they'd sell them for about 27 cents a pound. I said, you mean to tell me that those girls there, they don't pay them girls no $100 a week. They pay them about $30 a week, I reckon, to weigh that stuff in these chain stores. They don't make no money. They get by. In other words, I thought they had to pay that wage an hour, Lord. And they're not doing it. Lots of them are not doing it nowadays. You take the rest of they're getting by on murder, in other words, about not paying it.
Oh, really?
No, yeah, this girl, you know what they're working. That's the girl here said she's too lazy to get out and get a job. I said, well, you can get your job if you want one.
Yeah.
That's this kid. They living in the trailer?
No.
We got to pick up or where they're living.
Oh, that was Suzanne?
Yeah.
They live in town.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
But they had a pickup truck there, I guess, was in and working in the garden, didn't they?
Yes, I didn't see him.
And, but she didn't want to talk about it.
That was his father's truck.
It was?
That they got in Cocoa. They went down there. And they brought it. They got to take it home this weekend.
I said, if you can make a good wages and the tips, you'll make the money. But the pay is not any good. It's 50 cents an hour. Isn't that something? 50 cents an hour.
50 cents an
hour. And now, then I hire a doctor out there. I got to pay him, you know, $1.40 an hour.
Yeah.
And if he's any good at all, I got to pay him $1.60, $1.75.
Yeah.
I'm getting the sorry one for $1.40 an hour. I'm getting a pretty fair one for $1.60, but I get somebody you don't want to work like I want him to work, I got to pay him about $1.75 an hour.
Can you find one?
Yeah, once in a while, not ready, you can find one.
Yeah.
You take that Becker boy and over there, I'm telling him. He said, well, he said, that's what I have to pay him. I said, well, he's worth $1.75. I'd rather pay him $1.75 than I had to pay that other 50 cents an hour, but he wants $1.40. I said, that Peter, a colored boy named Peter, I said, he can do something. You can tell him to do something, he'll do it. He'll drive a truck, drive a tractor, fix a piece of fence, and go ahead and do it like it ought to be. But if you got this other one, you got to show him what to do. You can cut a bush down. You got to tell him, you know, cut it off, you know, right to the ground.
You want some more?
He's going to get some?
Yeah, he's going to drink it.
I
right
about a half a cup. If you got the water, if you have one, I don't need it.
Right,
if
right
it's not
here.
Hot, well, I don't bother.
Coffee won't hurt you. He won't
now
to keep you
away. A lot of people.
Will keep you
iced tea, no, ma'am. Coffee won't. But iced tea will.
Well,
I see. Will. And,
do you think the coffee is all alike?
Well, the good brand is not too much different. The good brand, well, that's a good coffee.
Yeah.
But
you fix it yourself.
Now and then, I've been using three, the main brand. Now this is a good brand. This is good coffee. Now this the bean that you have ground used to and percolate.
Yeah.
This here A&P is good a coffee you can find.
Yeah.
But I don't like the Insta because it tastes a little bit like it, you know, like you get it rested, you know, like it made over, you know, had it, you know, yesterday, the day before yesterday.
Left over.
You know what I mean? Second-handed, in other words.
Yeah.
I guess that would be the name.
Yeah.
But now then, well, I get it, you know, I buy it with price, you know, like my mother used to do. The Chasen Sanborn, Folgers, and Maxwell House.
Oh.
Them three, whichever one they want to sell. Now, I got, that was yesterday. I got 7 ounces of Maxwell House for 99 cents.
Yeah.
I buy it in a 6 ounce jar usually. But they got an extra ounce free.
Yeah.
So I got 7 ounces of Maxwell House yesterday. But the one that just emptied that cost 95 cents, it was Folgers, 6 ounces.
Yeah.
Now, what was it him?
Well, you mean you buy it by the 6 ounce?
Yeah, it's three times bigger than that. That's 6 ounce. It's next to this. This is a 10, eh?
Oh, I see.
Yeah, this is a 10. Next to this one. Next side of this.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
95 cents. This is just a little bit.
But they got the here, in other words, in the mackerel house for $1.32 cheaper than A&P.
Yeah.
But Panther Pride is cheaper than A&P or Quick Check or them other stores.
Do they have their own brand?
Yes, sir, they got their own brand too.
Have you tried it?
No, I haven't tried that brand, but I used to buy, you know, the three, like I just say, in other words, whichever one you know is cheapest.
Yeah.
It, I buy it and use it.
Oh,
and I can tell it. Yes, ma'am.
You watch.
Well,
and the jellies, the jellies and the meats, and now you're talking about the meats now. I mean, the vegetables are real nice too. The Panther Pride.
Oh, really?
Vegetables are real nice. They got a good display too.
Mm-hmm.
Panther Pride.
You know, since they have since they have gone into this sort of coffee, it hadn't tasted the same to me.
Well, at that is that the new the particle or
yeah.
The buds?
Yeah.
Yeah, the buds they call it.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell a little difference in the bud and I could do it.
And I don't like this as well as I did that other.
Well,
I'm just not used to it.
I like the. I got one little electric percolator now. When the aspirin, you like you say, get
yeah.
the regular A&P, you know, bean, and let them grind them up right there, and come on home,
yeah.
and make your pot of that, you know, percolator.
We have
yeah,
that's
you got one there.
We do it for
uh-huh.
breakfast, and after that, we just drink it. Just
now,
it,
yeah.
that's real coffee.
That's better coffee. I don't know what they call this, dry frozen or something.
I don't know something.
No.
Flavor. What they say underneath him, the flavor buds. Now my mother say buds and I don't know what that says.
Fresh brewed flavor. They didn't say much.
Yeah.
They don't
more,
tell you much anymore.
More concentrated now. I guess they got it all steamed and made in there, I guess. I like the bean. Now you get the whole thing when you get the bean ground up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got it all and nothing added or put in, now you got the bean.
You don't have to trust them for a thing, do you? Yeah, I got to say it. You said you, we were talking about Cedric's wife and her father.
Nope.
And you know his son-in-law.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't know
him. Hugh Colson.
Hugh Colson.
Mm-hmm. He married the other girl. He married Joanne's sister, huh?
Yeah. And he's a pretty good farmer.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, good boy, too. He's one of them type fella like I am. He's jack of all trades. He can do anything. You can do anything.
Yeah.
He's a jack of all trades, master of none, but he can do a little everything.
Yeah.
And the old man, he thinks a lot of him. He stayed with the old man, so he'll have it made. Of course, Sidget, wife, he won't need it. No, is he?
Give the sugar.
They got all they want. Joanne has, Sidget. But Hugh, in other words, while the old man thinks a lot of him, and something happened to him, while old Hugh, you know, since he's there, you know, looking out for him, and he's always, you know, getting him, you know, hurting himself or getting in trouble. He broke something about him. I had a heart attack in a while back, didn't he?
Who?
Old man Doak had some kind of trouble with him.
Oh, yeah.
Got to tell or hurt himself,
yeah,
something, though.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. You know, I wondered about Cedric. You see, he got all he'll ever need.
That's right.
Why does he want to wear himself out?
Got a thing in this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
That's what I can't understand either. And he's not doing the job, you know, in any of it too much. That's what his Uncle Tiny, you know, at Clarence, you know, said about him. And told me, and I went up there and said, maybe you can do something with him. But in some people, in other words, you just can't tell anything. You know it without me telling you.
Well,
you've been there long enough, and he'd ask me advice, opinion, in other words, then he wouldn't heed it and go ahead and do it anyway.
Yeah.
Just like I was telling him about the cows, in other words, about the feed business, in other words. And I said, well, I said, Cedric, I says, it may be all right. Of course, he didn't know, you know, the corn blight was going to come, and didn't know the price was going to rise, you know, skyrocket, in other words, like
yeah,
it did.
Yeah.
And it taken a long time, you know, for the beef, you know, got over 30 cents a pound, you know, and it isn't at 32 cents now. And you got to keep him until he gets 1,050 pounds. Well, a calf out there eating $1.50 worth a day in the feedlot. You know, I'm just talking horse sense now.
Sure.
You can believe it or not believe it, but you can ask somebody that's smarter than I am, and I think they'll tell you that I'm right. Just like that old Dr. Hinches up there, Jimmy.
Yeah.
He said, Mr. Smith, you know what to talk about. You go ahead and do it like you think it'd be, and I think it'll be like we want it.
Yeah.
That's what he told me.
Yeah.
Well, see, in other words, I'm trying to tell him the same thing, Mr. Ma. But he wouldn't listen to it. And he got to it, and then Clarence, he laughed and snickered, and of course, he don't have to wear anything, because he's sitting on his money, in other words. He's riding a new Cadillac out, you know, every 9 months, you know, to come out.
Now
and he says,
that's his uncle.
His daddy's brother, living in another house up there, you know.
I don't know him.
Clarence is his name. He's on the REA trustee, our district, number 8.
Yeah.
And he said, well, he says, you told him, though, and I said, yes, but he didn't want to heat mine, in other words. I told him to take care of your blue cows and get them calves, in other words, where they, you know, improve with bulls. You had the blue cow, they need to, instead of letting 10 or 15 die over here, but he got the opinion, you know, like a lot of people, that you might have heard this. Now, what do you think of this statement? The more you have, the more you're going to lose. And the way of keeping old stuff and letting them, you know, the winter come, and they get too old, you know, they're just gone, the muscle and everything going out like a person.
Yeah.
When you, in your time is allotted here on this world, in this earth, and your time comes, there's nothing in the world going to save you. It don't matter what kind of drug or what you take. You put him. You put in this world, you know, to go out one of these days. And the idea is, a cow, in other words, they don't have any sense. In other words, they can't eat like they ought to.
You got to keep track of them.
And you got to keep track of them. You got to check them every once in a while.
Yeah.
He didn't, well, there wasn't nobody to do that. I told him, I said, if you turn these cows over to me, if I don't make you any money, you won't have to pay me a penny in the world. You won't pay me nothing. That's what I told him. And I went up there. That's this last year. That's when I could have gone back. You know, they called me up there. They called me twice.
Yeah.
Called me in April, and they called me again in October. But I already committed myself to Smith. But I couldn't tell that boy anything. And he let them cows die, you know. You got to lose so many.
Yeah.
And some of me said, you go and shoot them. And I have to get out on the lift. I said, no, I don't do that. I don't shoot a cat or dog.
Yeah.
I said, I don't like to shoot a cow that I'm going to butcher. And I never did would shoot the hogs when we were butchering in the pen. Now, my brother, you know, he always liked to shoot the hogs, you know, wasn't he? Shoot the cow.
Yeah.
Shoot the hog with a pistol, and he would shoot the cow, you know, a rifle. Had one of those Winchester rifles, shoot the cow with. And he said, well, I guess I'll have to get that similar boy to come over and shoot him then. I said, well, you better, because I'm not going to kill him. But I maybe done fed the cow, you know, a bucket of feed and carried a little some water, you know, towed it out of the pond, carried up on the hill out. Good while, in other words, and just pitiful, in other words. She didn't have no sense. I just didn't have the heart to shoot the cow, you know, between the eyes.
Yeah.
So he got someone come one and killed three at one time.
Yeah.
And he said, you want to laugh and say, you want to haul them off? I said, let the bull take the tractor and haul them off. I even let the doc, you know, get the chain on hooked to the feet, you know, and drag them down to the graveyard, he called it. Well, it's a stack of bone down there where they last several years, you know, where they're dying, in other words. Well, you take any of them cows, in other words, that one day, now three of them, any of them, at that time, would have bought more than $100 a head.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah, if you've been watching them.
Yeah, one or two of them had a calf. Well, they died. Went over and looked for one of them, he's going to give it to Johnny, in other words, but the calf, he's done gone on that parade, you know, leave the lake, you know, somewhere out there. They couldn't find him in that thicket, in other words. He died, see?
Mm-hmm.
And the brothers ate him. But the brothers eat some cow after they drug him to the graveyard. But that's not right. In other words, when... I told him, pull the cows when they're getting in good shape. I said, they're getting kind of weak. You need to take these to the feedlot and pep them up a little bit, then load them on the 10-wheeler and carry them to town. Well, you've got, you know, with a cow and a calf together, you got $125 or $40 for the cow and the calf.
Yeah.
But no, he's losing 8 or 10, you know. Well, that don't sound like much, but that's $1,000, you know.
Yeah.
Just one little bunch
now
of cows.
Now, he operates a feedlot,
and
he also got a whole bunch of cattle out there.
Oh, yeah. And no herdman, nothing to look after them or ride them in the cabin or seeing about them. One don't have one while the cow and the calf both is dying. The more you have, the more you lose.
Yeah.
That's the reason I left them up there in November, I think, and I ain't been back. But I told Clarence, I said, well, I tried to tell him, Clarence, that the feedlot operation wasn't going to be, you know, like he said for. But I didn't know who was putting the money up. But I do know it cost $40,000 to put the thing up. And Swift was going to furnish the thing, and then I did tell him, in other words, he was on a deal that way they'd furnish the cattle. And he working on the, you know, just a game, in other words. And some of them, in other words, you get a sorry cow, in other words, it'll eat just as much as a pretty good yearling. It's going to cost you money out of your feed barn and your crop, in other words, to feed it. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And I said, don't do that. You you tell them, in other words, if they're going to buy the cattle and not let you buy them, they buy the cattle. If they're going to buy them, why, they pay you for the feed and pay you a percentage of what they bring, they'll pay you so much for your labor. In other words, you hauling it out in your truck and giving it to them.
Yeah.
And you charge them for the mixing the feed and a profit, in other words, for the feed you get. You buy it, you know, 20-ton loads, you know, and somebody hauled in there, you know, from Alabama. And somebody books, you know, early because he knows he's going to get it. And he says, you know, like that cottonseed meal, you know, he booked 40, 100 ton, you know, at, say, $90. No, wasn't that stuff got up to $125, $30, you know?
Yeah.
Well, now, I think I paid $5.80, I believe, for my last I got. $5.80 a bag.
Yeah.
I got a little sifter puff here last week. And I got a bag of cottonseed meal. Well, you got to put a little something, that protein with it to build it up. And I had a little bit of snap corn to kind of add to it. And I said, the grass ain't come out and done anything yet. And that's the cheapest feed I'm buying. You go and buy a feed, it costs too much money. But see, in other words, I told him, I said, you keep up a market. You're like a grocery. He don't go back and change the price of it. You know, if he bought this stuff on the shelf at a certain price, you're waiting in the grocery store. But you know how to do it, don't
yeah.
you? If this coffee here, in other words, you buy this case of coffee, and that coffee don't cost you, say, it's less than 79 cents. If this coffee don't cost you 40 cents, and you pay 40 cents for a case of it, you put it up there, and you're not, you know, in the market tomorrow, in other words, you know, goes up. You sell that coffee, you know, at a certain price, you know, over your 40 cents, you're allowed, you know, profit. In the market, you know, goes up, why, you don't bring the coffee down, you know, it's set at the same thing. You go up with a price, a stabilization price. Instead of you making 25 cents on the bottle of coffee, you go up and you make 40 cents. Well, you can sell more, in other words, if you left it down like the old price. That's the way Price is done, you know, and he had a bunch of stuff up there. I mean, Price did.
Yeah.
And that boy found it out, they went up there and bought him out before he knew what was going on. At the old price, you know what I mean? Yeah. Something they knew they could use, in other words.
Yeah.
That J.E., of course, he's getting old too, you know. J.E. is a fine fella.
Yeah.
But, he didn't know what was going on. They bought all that stuff out of money before he knew what was going on. And he could have done change the price, I don't know, and he got up with the times.
Well,
but him old and not alert, in other words, he couldn't keep up with this trend of the grocery. Well, every week, now, they tell you, you know, you read in the paper about the index price going up on grocers,
yeah.
So much higher this month than what last month. And it's not coming down, it's always climbing. Well, look at the wages they're striking, they want this, that, and the other. And everybody wants more money, but they don't want to do any work. They want to work less. Like those men I tell you about a minute ago, you hire one of them, he wants to pay. And I don't care whether he's a college student or he's the lowest labor or colored man you can get.
I can't hire anybody anymore, Evan.
Wait.
You see, they can't afford to work for me because about the most work I'd have in a row would be a week or two. And they got to have a regular job.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of them. A few of these drifts, in other words, but they no good. They're usually wine heads or something. You pick them up on the street and you may have to get a half a dozen. Like Henry Chitty, you know, said, I brought them out of game when I was about to wear out my car. You know, up there on the square.
Yeah.
And the first thing they want, you know, what you're going to pay.
Yeah.
And the next thing you want, you say, well, I got to have something for dinner. I got to have a dollar to get me something for breakfast and dinner. And he said, I got to pay out, you know, half of what he's worth to get him, you know, shape where he can work. And to get him out there, well, then he can't do the work. Then I got to carry him back. And I done lost the money that I fed him on. And I got to pick up some more. You know Henry Chitty, don't you?
Yeah.
I remember one time. What
Henry doing now?
Oh, he said he's going to drive a bulldozer or something, you know, and help Jeanette, but I don't know where he is now.
Well, he got out of that store.
Yeah, he foreclosed it.
Well, he'd had enough of that store?
Yes. That it got where they couldn't compete, you know, with these other chains, in other words.
They had nice stuff.
They did, but that type, in other words, you can buy good stuff, in other words, you know, a lot cheaper than what he was selling that. And he wasn't hooked up with the right Jews, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Now, Jews can throw most of the money. But he wasn't hooked up with the right one. And I told him, if you'd have got Junior to have done your dealing for you, why, you could have made some money.
Yeah.
Fred Junior, he knows them Jews. He can get up with them.
Okay.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah.
He He was in some kind of business one time, and he made a fortune. Then he got out, and he got into another business. This business of computers, or what? I can't call it machines. In other words,
yeah,
got into that,
yeah,
selling them. You know, the typewriters and the ad machine, mm-hmm, and the computerized equipment. I would just say several different things to them. You know, well, the university got a lot of it now. And he got this young boy, in other words, that has went to school and was real good at it, and he set him up. But come to find out, why, Junior wanted to make all the money, and that boy was doing the work.
Yeah.
And he said he got enough Jew in him, but he said, I didn't get mad, and I didn't have no falling out with him. I just said that I was through with this, and I was going to borrow a little money and going to put me up a little shop of my own, a little concrete block shop, a little shed. And I had my own tools and equipment, in other words, and he just pulled out. And the boys, and he working too hard. He working 6 days a week, not taking any recreation or much, you know, in other words, staying with it.
Uh-huh.
But he's making the money.
Uh-huh.
But like he said, about 4 years, he said, I'm going to retire.
Uh-huh.
And he's only about 30, he's only in his early 30s,
well, that's
35.
Shameful. That's shameful, isn't it? He won't have nothing to do. Mm-hmm. What, Cedric's mother, Ruth?
Yeah.
What's happened to her?
She's still into the corporation.
Yeah.
But she's got to keep the new car, in other words, and she has her money too, of course.
Yeah.
She's not broke.
No.
And she having a social time, in other words. She's having her entertainment, you might want to call it.
Well, now, I used to see her every now and then.
But
and
she's put on a good deal of weight, but she's seemed to be a nice lady. She's only a year older than I am. She's young.
I thought she was a right sporting sort, you know, good, makes you have a good time.
Well, she is. Yes, she is. She's got a boyfriend.
Oh, has she?
Yeah, a preacher.
Oh, yes. I knew that preacher.
Methodist. Are you all Methodist or Baptist? What are you all? Methodist?
Yeah.
Well, you ought to know your Methodist.
Yeah.
His name is Morrison, I believe. Morrison is the man's name.
Yeah.
And he's, I don't know, someone asked me. I said, I don't know, I'm just going by what Clarence said. He's a Methodist and I'm a Baptist. But I said, we as Baptists, well, we have, bad people in the churches, just like the Bible says, you know, we'll have, just like it was in the biblical times, you had the hypocrites, even the smart learned men, the scribes and Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were all, you know, hypocrites because they was professing and not possessing something, you see, and we have it in the church today.
Yeah.
If you profess something, you got to possess it, in other words, to really accomplish anything.
Yeah.
Like I'm telling that kid about the, fighting for peace. You get thinking about it, you don't fight for peace. Peace you create, you know, through love. And love don't come in your mind of bringing up something. Love comes in the heart. The Bible says, you know, all true issues of life come from here, comes from the heart. And that's what he wants to instill in people. But we have it in the churches, and the pastors are Baptist and the Methodist the same way. To him being a man that's not living with a wife and having children and not even divorced, and him, preaching the gospel.
Oh, is
and
he
Jesus
married?
Christ.
Has he got a wife?
Yes, sir.
And children?
Yes, sir. And he hadn't gotten a divorce from her, then he's going with Ruth, see? In other words, that's a companionship, or whatever you might call it, but you know what I mean? When you mention something, why then, you know, people know what go to look to extreme and talk, you know what I mean now? It's just human nature. We all carnal, in other words, you believe it or not. That's right. That's a true statement. But his client, he can't do anything, and he can't say anything, and I told him it wasn't in my affairs. No, everybody got to, count for self. I can't look out for you, and you can't look out for me.
Well,
but the time will come, in other words, when it will come out, you see.
Have you run into that fellow?
Oh, yes. He's asked me more questions in 2 minutes than a lawyer can ask, in an hour. He's very talkative.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's a right good speaker. He's not a bad pastor. I heard him preach.
What about
out that Walker Hoot, and out that Shiloh, out that Jeep, that Lightness, his pastor. Jeep, he's one of the stewards out in Shiloh.
Oh, that's right. He was Jeep's
pastor
after a while.
And he had Edison down here, you know, of Richardson over there, a great Methodist, in other words. And then he got the church out there on Walker Hoot. And they make it up a church. My sister was a Methodist, in other words. Great work, in other words. She worked in the Methodist church and making up. She was a Methodist.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
It was about half of a Methodist. My brother was a Methodist. Two of my brothers were Methodist. One older than I am. And the one that's out yonder, he's a Methodist. And the oldest brother and myself is only Baptist. It's in my children. The rest of them are Methodists. That's right.
Yeah.
So there's
Now, which one's the oldest? Is he in Jacksonville?
No, he's in Tampa.
Yeah.
The one that's in Jacksonville, and the next, he's a Methodist.
Yeah.
He's a big 32nd degree Mason, too.
Yeah.
He's
And then you and Ernest, and where's the other one?
Ollie and Glenn. Ollie's in right between Clearwater and Dunedin.
Yeah.
And the other's in Tampa. That's right. And Bertha, and over to Miss Rouse, you said you.
Yeah.
And with her, she was the only girl.
The only girl.
Only girl in the family. Five boys and one girl.
You know, Mr. Doak's son-in-law,
Hugh, his daddy was a convict. And that boy raised up. You know what? I'd worked around that boy, you know, about 3 years, and just talking like we were talking a minute ago, in other words, and he just said something about, as I said a minute ago, just like I said, you know, about the teenage girl, talking about, you know, fighting for peace. It's just some little something like that. It caused some people to just stop and think, you know, for a minute. And old Hugh, in other words, he got stopping and thinking. Now, he never had been really rowdy or nothing. His daddy was a rough nut. And he had to come up the hard way, like you see a lot of children today. The circumstances, you can't help it. But an individual, you got to account for it. Your daddy can't look out for you. Your mother can't look out for you. Your wife can't look out for you. You're going to look out for yourself. And old Hugh, I worked around him for 3 or 4 years. I went up there and he said, I don't know anybody. Says, we got an old bale here on the shed. You bring your bale up here. Pull it behind the truck. Tomorrow. Said, you can use one of the tractors to pull it with. And he got big trucks, you know, they had, and had them wagons, no corn wagons. Said, we can't haul hay in them. But he said, I believe I'll get another truck. Two trucks, you know, with labor, in other words, but a haul of hay, you know, just short distance, you know, to the barn and put it in. So I pulled my bale up there and I worked with him, and I went up there and helped him with his corn. He come down and he broke my corn for me and got the thing clogged up, and he started a little early and said, my fault. Said, you told me I'd better wait another half hour until the dew died, pulling the weeds up, you know, and wrapped around the thing, you know, and they shared the pin, you know, and you got to take a knife and cut. You've seen these pickers, and you got to cut that stuff out of them rollers. And if your line's up too tight, you can break one of them rollers. They don't cost a $35 a piece.
Yeah.
And he had that nice machine there, cost about $12,000. And with a head on there, attachment on it, but I wanted mine picked. See, the Junior did too. I wanted it picked off and not, you know, shucked and shelled and leave everything else in the field, you know, just come out with the grain. That's the way a lot of it's done this time. But worked around that boy about 3 years, you know, and then, just like I said a minute ago, or something other that I'd said or something caused him to think, in other words. And the boy, you know, made a professional faith and joined the church.
Is that right?
Just 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay.
About 3 years ago now.
Yeah.
And he's young than I am. I'd say he is, I'd say he's 45.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you? I imagine he's 45.
Yeah.
Because she's older than Joanne, and Joanne's 30. And I'd say she's about 35, and I figured him to be maybe 8 or 10 years older than she is. But he's never had, you know, been, you know, what you call a roughneck. He didn't fly around and drink liquor and cut up and spill and all that, a curse or beat anybody out or anything. He always, you know, treated everybody right, but he just never had made a profession, in other words. And
well,
he just, sometimes he did.
Going way up there with your equipment, you can't come out on that.
No, no. Well, I did it for the simple reason to get him to pick my 25 acres of corn. And he was going to pick Cedric Jr., and I worked with Cedric. Off and on, because I used Cedric equipment. See, I made the 300 acres for him, you know, this last year, and that was the year before that at Hugh. Now, this last year, we had to get a boy out of Williston. That Hall and the man that run that Driftwood Restore, Holland. Holland and Hall. The two of them together. Now, they got the equipment. They had a one of these 1200 CV David Brown with a two-row picker and a couple of them Panther wagon with a lever there, you know, with a self-unloader, you know, like a box car where the fertilizer comes underneath the bottom of it. A coal car. You've seen the coal car, haven't you? And sand car, you know, with the box car. Where the sand, you know, you pull a latch and it all dumps underneath there, you know, on the board or goes in the pits, you know, mm-hmm. And then pull it up. So that's the reason that I went up there. See, you know what, that was his brother-in-law, and he wanted his. He had about 200 or 250 that year, and I made that crop. But that poor city got this new type of cook. He told me to take that boy and learn him something, but that boy, like we said a minute ago, I couldn't teach him anything. Clarence Mills, his son, run the auction market in Ocala. You ever been to auction in Ocala? Well, he got a boy, a big old fat boy. You've probably seen him. He's working with his daddy. Telling me that he's going down there, his daddy's going to give him interest in that thing, man. He'd pay him $25 a day. I said, well, that's where you better be. But I said, this is a good place for you to learn how to do something, because your daddy may not live all the way, and you're all down in them rocks. Y'all may not be farming. I said, you don't have the farming land you should have anyway in that rock. You tear up more quick. But up here, this is good, easy sailing. You might want to farm some of your granddaddy land over in Ernest's. But he wouldn't do it right, and he said, your tractor's better than mine. I said, come on, get on this and him. I'll get on that, and I'll drive any of them that rolls. And I says, I'll set your plow for you, and you can wreck this one, or you can wreck the one that I was driving. Well, he wanted to try mine. He got on it, and he didn't like it. He drove it, you know, a few rounds, and he made some changes on the set on the sweeps, and he wanted to go too fast, and he plowing up more corn. He's cultivating, really. I said, you plowed up more in the last 30 minutes, and I'll plow up in a week. You know, told him that, and I said, you're trying to go too fast. And I said, look what you're doing. Don't be working that steering wheel like you're playing with a car or something. Or other. I said, you just set your hand up on there. I said, it's easy to steer. And I said, it'll follow itself. But he kept on until, you know what he finally done? He left. Cedar Jr. come on and said, what y'all not through this field yet? I thought y'all had been through this 40 by now. Two of you flying. I said, well, it would have if anyone working me, but I said, you look at the track where you turn around at the end. You skip, you know, about four or five rows at a time, in other words, to, you know, where you just keep the tractor moving. He said, what's Emmer been doing? I said, mill boy. I said, well, he's all out frog hunting last night and drinking beer, and I said, he'd been down on his shade and sleeping. And I said, you count the tractor, and I'm the only one been tying. We would have been about through if he'd have been helping us. We got after him, and it made him mad. And before we left that evening, he run the thing into a pine tree and just messed the radiator, the drill, and all up. You know, one of them radiators on the tractor cost about $80. And he said he was going home. His daddy would find something for him to do. Now, that's what I had to learn, how to do something. But then this last year, you know, when he got this new equipment, you know, that I planted the four rows, you know, and then I wet four rows, you know, with that rotor hoe. And after the first time, well, you can put the thing in fifth or sixth gear, in other words, and you can, I'm plowing, you know, 50 acres, 60 acres a day.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That much a day?
Yes, ma'am. Mm. I can plant 40 acres a day. I'd have to have a docker to work that row marker, in other words. He didn't have no hydraulic. You can get a hydraulic cylinder on the row marker. But he didn't have one, and you can't, you know, that thing way out there, you can't pull that thing up. You've seen them on the old H's and M's, you know, like Robert Williams and them got, you know. You can do that, but take time and you wrap it around your column now. But that thing there, it was too heavy to pick up. And so I let a man ride the planter. It's floating, in other words, on the stationary toolbar. And that colored man, he hasn't got much sense, but he's good riding. He knew, you know, when to drop it and when to pick it up, you know, at the end. When you turn, you know, you can mess the thing up. And, well, he and I, well, a lot of times we were planting, you know, 40 acres a day. And you get to cultivate, and you cultivate fast and you plant. The first time it's a little slower, but after corn gets up, you know, about, say, like that,
yeah.
Or you can take that rotor hole, in other words, and that thing, you know, won't throw the dirt. It just, you know,
yeah.
Just like your finger, you know, scratching in there like this.
Well, with equipment like that, you can't hardly hire somebody to do that. You.
No, well, that's what I mean.
You come out ahead just doing it yourself.
That's right. That's what people are doing now. That's where they're saving the labor bill, like it was with him, and I have two of us. And I could take that machine. The machine costs more, But I'd plow, you know, like him and I were, you know, each one of plowing about 10 acres a day, 20 acres, two of us, and two tractors. Well, I'd take that one tractor and me by myself and plow, you know, twice as much a day. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where you're saving the money and you're saving the labor expense. But the idea is to see that boy, him and I have to learn him, you know, how to cultivate. But he wouldn't listen to me. I'd set the thing, you know, and then he'd change it. He'd wide it out, think he'd go too fast. But the faster you go, you know, you're going to throw more dirt with a sweep. That's what we had there. But this other thing, you get the side of the row and you keep the thing in the middle of the row. That's all there is to it. Only thing is, you're locking the brick and turning it around.
If you do it yourself, how much help do you need? One man?
You mean that's all you need the whole way. That in planting and harvesting the crop, you don't need but one more man with you. And you're picking it.
Yeah.
Just like I was helping Hugh. That one man, you know, he keeps them stalks, you know, tangled up with his gathering chain, in other words. Just watch it, in other words. And if it gets too bad, why then you hail your driver, in other words, because he can't see and drive too. And you stop. But then you have it. After you get it, in other words, then, of course, you have men, you know, bringing your wagon and hauling, you know, when you empty them. But two men to make the whole work. You're like, well, if y'all were Ernest and I, we made that whole business up yonder at the university. And they had the class out there, and they come out there, and that boy, Lightner boy, going to college up there, he said that's where you left off, and that lime rock is still there. Done turned old yellowish, greenish color, and it's still sitting right there. I said, the strength of it, well, somebody don't want it, but where it goes out into the lot there, where the cows done tore it off and done tore the lime rock and all up. I said, you got a roof on it? No, there ain't no roof on it yet. See, and I left it, you know, halfway, and then we were going to pack it, and they said in the center there, they were going to, you know, put about a 3 or 4 inch concrete on it. And I said, get some of the wire, you know, down that dump, in other words, and just roll it out, you know, let it be molasses, load that molasses, it weighs 3 or 4 tons, that trailer load of molasses. That thing might weigh 5 tons, you know. A pretty good sized drum, you know, about 8 or 9 feet long, that you pull through there on a tractor, in other words, on a trailer. But a tractor, in other words, just tired of it wouldn't, you know, crack the lime rock, but it'd make it look better inside. And as I told them, I said, just, you know, be better suited. You know, he used blacktop on his up yonder. But it's still, George said, it's still right there. And he says, they haven't put no shed or nothing on this right there. And I said, well, the shooting and the cutting pin and all, in other words, it's still out in the hot sun, too. He said, yeah. I'm going to come and put a shed over that. And I'm going to build one or two little boxes, in other words. They have the money, no shed like this here, where you keep your different kind of medicine, in other words. You have it right to handle. You keep your guns, you know, syringe, you know, needles. Have extra needles, you know, because you will break one or bend one or something every once in a while, the more tough animals. Especially when you get them brimmers. You get them brimmers trying to put a needle in one of them, why, it'll bend, no, it's like elephant. I just don't want no brimmer, not. Man told me, Johnny the one told me, he said, well, tell him to get him a brimmer if he wants to get them calves that'll be 100 pounds when they hit the ground. I said, I don't believe that fellow wants in a brimmer. I said, he kind of like I am. He wouldn't mind having a Angus or a Bangus, and that's what I told you, I'd get in another way. That's what Max has got a lot in here. You saw Mixon cattle, didn't you? And he has some pretty ones every year. And they're pretty this year. I imagine I haven't seen them in, except from the road, you know, going around. You know, he got them in, he still got them in 2 or 3 pastures, hadn't he?
I think so.
Did he carry you as a pasture?
No, of course.
He just showed you 1 or 2 bunches.
He offered to them, and I want to go back over there and see them. Because he takes care of them cattle. And I don't know anybody.
Well, he don't spend no lot of money on them.
No.
I'm telling you, just like you all. Now, she said she'd like to see them eat. But I wouldn't think you, unless both of you are making, you know, $15,000 or $20,000 a month. Like the nephew of mine is, in other words, his wife's making $8,500 and he's making about $7,500. And they got 2 children, but they can afford, you know, to keep them.
Yeah.
Each one of them got an automobile. All 4 of them. There's 4 of them, and each one of them got 4 automobiles.
Yeah.
And they got a $40,000 home.
Yeah.
But I said, that's the reason you all can do it. And they live high up on the pig, the old saying is. You go there, why, they serve elaborate food, in other words, or something like out of the world. And they're glad to have people, and don't mind it, don't think nothing about it. Of course, as everybody said, I want to say about my daddy, you never did nothing, you give it away all the way on the table. Well, I know we give away a vendor dollar on the thing, but he didn't look at it that way. You know, old people, you know, back in old days, didn't think about it. They come and help each other and roll logs and help, you know, build a barn and houses, in other words. Mm-hmm. I know they built a barn out there. While neighbors came, you know, and chipped in and helped. And maybe they had a pearl ore, or maybe they had, you know, put the corn in the wash pot and boiled it, you know, corn on the cob. And maybe had a wash pot, you know, setting out of it with a pearl ore with three or four chickens, you know, dumped inside of it, you know what I mean? And maybe have in the house that may come out, you know, with cornbread and some kind of vegetable, you know, sweet potatoes or maybe peas or beans or something for a vegetable. Well, you got a meal, and you got that. You got corn on the cob, you got your vegetable, you got your sweet potato, you got your pearl ore and chicken. Well, that's all you need. Iced tea. Have iced tea.
And your daddy, that's what he lived for.
That's right. He didn't mind his bit in the world.
Yeah.
And he'd feed the people and have company. Come, you know, had the piano and everything, and have old fashioned thing, you know, and pour it all leave while they give him, you know, dessert and stuff, you know, to eat. Mama would make all kind of puddings and whatnot. We had one of these old fashioned big old churns and make ice cream. It wouldn't take long to turn that thing. Two or three people get that. And just keep it steady. It doesn't take long to make. Just keep the salt and ice to it. It'll get hard.
It sure will.
That's what they always told us, in other words. And said, well, all it do is take about three now. And come on, let's keep the thing going. Don't let it thaw out any. And put the sack back over it, you know, one hold it, you know, and one turn a while. And his arm get tired, he turn another while, and another one take it. And time the other one get it, he rested up. And it wouldn't be just a few minutes before we'd have ice cream.
It don't take any time to order.
But then, they know people are living. But now then, why, it's different. But it takes more money now, in other words, they're saying a minute ago.
Yeah.
But like Max and them, they got the old home, you know, and he cut the, it was a two-story, you know, like this. Did he tell you about his home? His is like the hen, they're taking the top story off. And he spent all that money for that porch, last end porch on the front. And they've done some remodeling on here, but they take the upper story off of his.
Well, what did they do? I never heard of that.
But they didn't need it all that big, in other words, the extra room upstairs, but it was a good big house itself. And they made a pretty good job of it. Of course, it cost them a good deal of money for all that front.
Yeah.
But as I told them someone, and like Miss Matthews down yonder, Miss Neil Matthews, did you know her? She's a school teacher. She taught school at Reddick and also Williston for a number of years. Her husband was on the ACP, I drag down what you call it. Giveaway program. Big men get it down in Ocala. I think they call it ACP, isn't it?
ASC
or something. No, but I call it a giveaway program. The big people get it, the little man can't get anything.
Yeah. The little man might get a little bit, but
if there's any left, you might put that in there. I tried a few times.
Have you ever been on the board up there?
No, sir.
You ought to be on the board.
Yeah. But I
bet you'd really get an eye for it.
It's like the boys on it down here. I could have been the only one to put me a name down. I imagine I could have went on and got on the thing. You know, if I just, you know, let them put me. But I said, I don't want to be on that. I said,
they were just.
I don't care anything about nothing of this caliber, in other words. And you got to deal with people. And somebody somewhere along the line, you can't please them all. Somebody's going to get, you know, a little pee.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd just be a friend to everybody, and I wouldn't stay off of it. And Jiffy's saying, he said, you'd be surprised that people get peed to me. And he says, the one that's doing it is not the ordinary sort of people, it's the big man, the big fella. Getting peed with him, because they can't get more than what they're getting, and they're getting too much of it. He'd tell you the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jiffy told me. Yeah. That's a old boy. He knows you, he said he did.
Jiffy?
Yeah.
Yes,
he said he knew you.
Oh, yeah.
He said, tell you, if you wanted to rent one, well, he'd help you out. All he could was Victor Pugh over yonder. I said, yeah, but I said, he's like I am, and you, GP, I don't know. As I told you before, it's none of my business about your financial status. That's your business. And C.J. Jr. told one of them boys to come up there. Said, that's my business. Said, I'm not making no financial statement to you, C.J. Jr. told that boy. And I'm not expecting you to make one to me, but I said, I don't know, they may have plenty of money, but I said, I don't believe he wants to rent my bull for about $250 for a year.
Yeah.
And I said, he'd sell his bull, and I wasn't, his bull will bring $350, And I said, if he got to put $100 more and get a little younger bull, well, he can get a good Angus bull for four and a half.
You know what I would do is use artificial. And you know, I...
Well, after that runs into money, too, it's just like leasing that bull. That artificial runs into money. A semen. Is that that boy working White Hill? Elba not doing anything with it. That boy, Danny Stevens, is working through White Hill. Of course, they got the money.
Yeah.
But that thing runs into money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Enlightening them doing it. They out there. They've been out there all week. Jiffy said that's what they're doing over at the ranch. See, you know, when the cow gets ready and getting out, and then honey says, you're going to send George back up there, you know, to learn this stuff, in other words. Well, George is starting at university.
Yeah.
But George done told him, in other words, he went and got to learn this artificial insemination and get the degree in animal science. That he didn't know where he'd be around here or not. He might be, you know, somewhere else. He might be a county agent or something, you know, where he make something on the side. But I told George, I said, well, where you have your daddy away, start off with him. He's not doing too bad. And I said, get him at home away worth $100,000 and the land with it together. That's $100,000 gift. I said, no man can't live over 100 years long anyhow. Just laughing and told him that. I said, no, his allotted time is only about 20 more years, or 15. You don't know when your allotted time, you know, when it's gone. Of course, old man, I'd say he's 70 years old. I don't know how old Herb is, Bedford. But I'd say he's 70. But his wife, in other words, I know she's past 65, so he'd have to be around 70. About 5 years, they figure about 5 years different. Well, sometimes a man is 10, 15 years older than his wife. Like Ruth, in other words, her husband's about 20 years older than she was.
Oh, that much?
Yeah. Yeah, old Sigurd was about 20 years older than Ruth. That's when Ruth is young enough, you know, to marry again, but look like she'd find somebody, you know, besides the... That fellow she got, no. Of course, that's her business, though. And somebody said, well, don't you say anything. You haven't found you one.
That's bigamy.
Don't you say anything. You haven't found any. I said, I'm looking for one that got a little money to take care of me. I'm not able to take care of one. And I want one to take care of me.
Let me tell you, I've heard that fellow talk.
Marshall.
And he talks right smart, but I'm not sure that he says much.
Well, you get truthful laugh, too. But I don't condemn a man in his speech. Now, he may mean well, and he's all right. Now, I understand, though, we're going by what the book says.
Yeah.
Judge not, lest we should be judged.
Well, now, I'm talking about carpentry and things like that.
Yeah,
now,
well,
I'm not talking about
you're not talking about the church work.
No.
Well, he was talking about the feed, you know, wanting to know the ingredients of this feed and what a Nazareth had. And he was using words that he didn't know if I'd have told him what TNT was. You see? He didn't know what it was. If I'd have told him, though, them little old black little pellets, you know, it's in the citrus puff. And you mix it all with the other corn, you know, snap corn and the hulls and the cottonseed meal. Maybe you put a little oats in there. Well, you'd see, you know, the oats are roll oats, you know, what it is. And he picked out one of them and wanted to know what was that. And I told him, well, that's where the value is, the nutrient value. That's a cottonseed meal. That's where your protein is.
Yeah.
And that's what gives them, you know, the pep.
Yeah.
And he went on, you know,
he don't know
anything more. He went on to ask another million questions. And wasn't you and me talking to him because he didn't understand anything.
Right.
But they left. Well, C.D. Jr. said, that fellow there, he wants to learn something, but says he needs to study a little bit before he goes to asking so many questions. That's what Caesar Jr. said about his own, his mama's boyfriend.
Yeah.
He doesn't like him too much. Clients don't either, but I didn't, you know, particularly, you know, care about him asking questions, but I got along with him all right. But they just like a couple of young children, you know, was in love, in other words, holding hands, you know, driving car, and they had an arm around them.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Right there in public?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
And she let him drive the car, and I wouldn't use to drive her car and don't drive his. And she told me a time or two to fill it up with the gas. She used a high test, you know. They got that premium gas. And that car of hers is one of those, what is it, Chrysler? Dodge? Dodge or Chrysler one?
Yeah.
I believe it's a Dodge. Polaria. What is that? Is that a Dodge?
I don't know. Did... Yeah.
I think it's a Chrysler product, I think. Polaria is the name of it on the side.
Yeah.
Polaria.
Did old man think he had to work for his money?
Well, some. They got some, you know, handed down here to them, and the sister left them a little money, so I understand.
Yeah.
I don't know the financial status of the background, but they've been pretty conservative, and they put it through, you know, in the dealing, and they bought up some of this tax fee land like Zetrow did, you know.
Yeah.
5 cents on the dollar and so much an acre, in other words, to buy it in for taxes. You know, that's way back there before my time.
Yeah.
I've heard all this, but I don't know the detail, but that's where a lot of it has gotten, in other words, and it doesn't, it just taken a little bit back in those days, you know, to get started, see?
Oh, yes.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Now then, why, you got to go down there with $4,000, $5,000 to buy automobiles, and we went down there with $500 and bought that brand new, spanking new Model T Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And drove it home. I'm about to have a fight. Who's going to drive it, you know, first? And that's all I know, you see?
Your daddy liked to have food on the table.
That's right. And we raised in the field and made enough money to make that tea pay for that tea model forward with lettuce, the Boston and the iceberg lettuce like we had here this night. This
oh,
year.
That was
And we had some of these Chinese cabbage. Have you seen the Chinese cabbage? We had it. It was out of this world, in other words. It was beautiful, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I know we had about 4 acres, and Uncle Ernest had about 9 acres. And you're talking about we loaded about 3 carloads. That was a fresh cut. 3 carloads. We're loading box cars and icing it down right in Macintosh. 3 carloads.
Of Chinese
cabbage.
Is your uncle living?
No, he's dead. That's Dick's, you know, left for her. That's his dad.
Yeah.
No, he died. He wasn't too old. He had that... they didn't call it leukemia, but it's some kind of a skin, blood
well,
disease. Yes, ma'am.
Those, your earliest recollections having picnics?
Hmm?
Is that as far back as you remember when your daddy was putting food on the table?
No, I remember back when I was 5 or 6 years old. My granddad, you know, used to carry me with him in a wagon. You know what? I was riding and making open in a wagon. Had dirt roads and had a pond to go through up there to them stores. And I'm telling you, I had 4 years time. Mott and Pomeradery and old Fontaine and Feaster.
Yeah.
Oldest Feaster was there in that old lodge building now. Are you a Mason?
No.
No, that's where they had the Masonic Hall.
Yeah, we know.
And I had got an art gallery in on the bottom and the Masonic Hall upstairs. I think there's 3 stories of that building, I believe. But the art gallery downstairs, and the picture man is there for, you know, advertising to take pictures or take care of, I believe it's weddings, I think, what he takes the arrangements of a picture or something. But we'd ride up there, and it'd take a half a day to go and a half a day to come back, and I was just a kid, and my granddaddy, he'd buy me a nickel worth of candy and be a sack full.
Yes. Yeah.
But now then, why, you got to even get one of those bar candy. It costs you a dime now.
Yeah, it's smaller than a nickel bar.
Absolutely.
But
I was just 4 or 5 years old, and I never forget it. He used to tell me one time that told me, and I wanted something so bad, and I went and picked it up, and I tried to hide it, and he was shrewd enough to catch me, and he wanted to know where I got it, and I told him. But I didn't used to tell a lie about it, because I knew if he'd catch me in other words, and if I did tell a lie, then I'd get 2 or 3 with him. So I told him that I'd got it out of the box at the store. And that's when he told me, and I never got it. He said, son, he says, let me tell you one thing. He was talking then, though. He didn't have to whip me. Though. It all, you know, back in those days, your daddy could tell you something, and you knew what he meant, and you ain't meant business. He says, what doesn't belong to you, belong to somebody else. Now, if you wanted all that bad, why didn't you ask a man for it? If you wanted that bad, he could have looked at you and see if you didn't want it, he'd have given you the 3 or 4 pieces of candy that I had hidden in my pocket. See? And he said, from now on, he said, you remember that. Don't you ever steal nothing. He said, the two things that I don't like is that a man is steal and a man that's working with me is a lie to me.
Yeah.
He said, that's 2 things that I don't go for.
Yeah.
And he said, now you done one of them that I can't go for. And he said, you remember me telling you that, and don't you ever take anything that don't belong to you, it belongs to somebody else. And he said, if you want it bad enough, you ask for it.
Now, that's your daddy.
That's my granddaddy.
That's your granddaddy. That's what you said.
Yeah,
he's
granddaddy.
The one who
yeah.
told you these
mm-hmm.
things.
He's the one. Because my daddy was busy, you know, trying to make a living before we 5 kids and and a girl, 6 of us, 6 heads.
Yeah.
And Mama was working on the side by side. Mama taught school. An old blackboard. My mother did.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, my mother real smart. And her sister was right smart, too. She was in the legislature for 20 years up in Tallahassee. My mother's sister, my aunt. 20 years in the legislature.
Who was she?
Darman, Mamie Darman. Let me see, she died in 30. No, granddad died in 34. She died in 47.
Your grandfather died that far?
No, my aunt.
Yeah.
My granddaddy died in 1934. That's the one I named after, 1934.
Gee,
yeah.
That way back.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't too long, in other words. That's when I was going to University of Florida.
Yeah.
33, 34, and 35.
Yeah.
That's right. And he take pneumonia, in other words. And when he passed away in 34, and they had a storm that year. And I was staying with my sister in that old big double house on next to her new home they're making over. The old big house.
Oh, yeah,
and that oak tree, in other words, it got so bad until I moved out of the front room of the house and went in the kitchen. And I carried a mattress off of a cot. And it was in the hallway. That house is fixed, you know, kind of like yours. It had a hallway, you know, and had a cot there, in other words, in that hallway. And it had a closet there, you know, where people come in and hang their coats, you know, and put their hats on, the old-fashioned rings there. And I moved in the kitchen. Keep being wrecked, and that's when my granddad was living at home, and also my brother, his next older than I, and he and his wife were there. And never forget it, his oldest daughter was born the next day after the storm had come and blowed the back part of the house over on Orange Street. And she was in the shed room, the one that I'm sleeping in now, one of the shed room in the back. The mother, her and dad, mother's room was in the front room. And Dad was in the shed room after it got up, you know, old, you know, like people used to, you know. They get double bed, they either, you know, have a separate room of their own, you know, that style, you know. You know, now, then, now and then, I think the style is to have maybe it's double beds in a room, in other words, and one sleep on one another. Now, they may have a different room. Do you all have a separate room, or do you all still have double beds, a single bed, the how it is? I know my brother-in-law, I know, he got one, and his wife got one, my sister, why, she told him she's going to get one of them extra large beds and they're still going to stay together. So she got one of them double, extra,
big
beds.
Well, they still got one
and
bed.
You got one bed right on?
I never have tried one of them double beds.
One of them big ones?
Oh, they are big ones.
Yeah, they are big ones. But you got plenty of room to turn on without hitting them with your elbow or waking up or something
yeah,
like that.
Right. That's
a special part. Now, Carly's a big man. My sister was small. Plus, she's a little larger than your wife, your sister, with a medium size, I guess. You, I'd say, weigh 130 pounds. But probably weighs better than 200. I think he weighed 230.
So your granddaddy wasn't very old?
My granddaddy? Oh, that's my granddaddy, yes, sir. If he'd have stayed on, he'd have soon been 100. He was 96 years old.
Mm.
He was in the Confederate War.
He was?
Yeah. Way back then. Confederate.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, Confederate.
So
I used to come down Confederate meeting down in Ocala in that T-Mall. I came down that T-Mall at Confederate meeting, and you know how many was there when I came in? It got down to about 3 or 4.
Well,
is all it was.
Yeah.
That's right. Confederate. Yeah, he was in at one little battle there was Lee, Robert E. Lee, in a big battle. In the one, he wasn't in the one where Lee, you know, surrendered to Grant, but he was in one or two, you know, before they got, you know, split up. In the division.
He was way on up there then.
Yeah, nearly 100 years old.
Goodness.
And my daddy was 81 and Mama was 82.
But he was in good shape?
Good shape. That pneumonia caught him. He'd walk down, get the mail, and sit out there and have him a homemade hawk call on hawks and shoot them with a double-barrel shotgun with them old owl heads on the east side of it. And them old hammers, what do they call them, owl heads on each side. You pull one back or pull both of them back, you want to shoot both barrels.
Yeah,
but he says the only way you shoot both barrels, you get in a bunch of turkeys or wild hog or deer or something or other, and want to be sure that, you know, to get plenty of lead in him, or they just pull both barrels at one time.
Yeah.
It may set you down, in other words, but you have plenty of lead there, you know, to take care of it. Yeah, but I like it, no way. And I got mine. I'd want to shoot one bear, and if I didn't stop him with it, I want to get another one. But if you missed him, you know, both bear, well, then you'd have to outrun him or climb a tree. That's what he'd tell me.
Oh, wild hogs, and you used
right.
To hunt wild hogs?
Yes, ma'am.
He does that.
Wild hogs.
Yeah.
Have some hot coffee.
Yeah. We got to talk business, too. It's just about y'all bedtime. Not heard anyway, I imagine.
That's the end of Channel 1 Over. End of Channel 1 Over. Wednesday night, 31st of March, 1971. Channel 1 Over.